are edified and your name is glorified. Thank you, because as I preach and teach your word, the saints will be touched.
Amen.
The very same way when you were walking with those two disciples going to Emmaus, they said, did our hearts not burn when he preached the word? That their hearts will burn.
Amen.
With the truth of your word.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Your word says, is your word not like hammer? Is it not like fire? That word, it works mightily today. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know what I wanted to do? All of you think you know my prayer. Praise God. They know my prayer because I said, let me add to it today. Did you follow me with the other ones? No. Amen. All right, let's get into God's word now. Let me say something to you about meetings where, you know, we teach God's word. Wherever we teach God's word, right, God is there. Can we get a believing amen?
Amen.
Right. So listen to be edified. Listen to be edified. Listen, take notes, pay attention, but much more. Also, no, let me say something about how we preach here. The way we preach here, we deal with your spiritual growth. The idea is that if you understand spiritual growth, it will pan out in how you deal with physical things. Can we get a believing amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Because I can teach you, I can give you fish, but I want to teach you how to catch fish so that fishes are not a big deal. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen and amen.
Amen.
So pay attention. Because the greatest problem of man is not the devil. The greatest problem of man is ignorance. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
The greatest problem of man is ignorance. Right? In 1800, Abraham Lincoln signed the Freedom of Slave Act. What does that mean? It meant that before then, everybody in America used to have a slave that was wealthy. He signed it in 1800. Meaning, no one should legally have slaves anymore. Right? But they didn't have mass media the way they have it today. Praise God. Right? So, for many years, there were still people that had slaves. And there were still people that believed they were slaves. Why? Well, it wasn't because they had not been set free. It was because they did not know. So, they behaved like slaves, reported for work every morning for many years until they heard by rumor that, have you not heard that the president said over 8 years ago that you are free? That would sound weird because something happens in Jamaica now. Fola will open her phone and see it. But in those days, it wasn't like that. If anything would spread, it would be by word of mouth. So, that, my point is, that particular slave was still a slave, though he has already been free. What will have set him free? Truth. Was the truth already released? Yes. But he did not know the truth. So what did Jesus say as it relates to that? John 8, 31 and 32. He says, in verse 31, if you continue in my truth, you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth. Right? And that truth will make you free. Praise the Lord. Praise. So we are going to a topic today that we are titled Servants of Righteousness. Servants of
Righteousness.
Servants of
Righteousness.
Amen. Servants of
Righteousness.
Now listen carefully. This is a teaching that is a continuation. Say a continuation. It's a teaching that is a continuation from the other teachings that we've started off. What was the teaching from the last month? What's the teaching from the last month? The righteousness of God. So we are now looking at servants of
righteousness.
Servants of
righteousness.
Okay, what did we learn from the teachings that we have gone through? Because for us to enter into this teaching, servants of righteousness, we need to know some of the things that we have learned. We have said that the gospel is the power of God. Can we get a believing amen? The gospel is what? The power of God unto salvation for as many as believe. Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation for as many as believe. Why are we talking about the gospel? The next verse, verse 17. It says, therein, where? In the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. So what is in the gospel? Church, what is in the gospel? So the righteousness of God is what the gospel is about. Praise the Lord. And we have said so far that man is condemned. Amen. Amen. Do we believe that man is condemned? Sin came into the world and condemnation came with sin. Man by nature is condemned. He's condemned before God. That's how his mind is speaking. He's condemned before the devil so the devil can accuse him. Man is condemned. And that's what Moses was trying to say in Genesis. When Moses he was writing the book of Genesis, and he would say, Adam, where are you? The Bible says, Adam heard the voice of God in the cool of the day. And what did he do? He went to hide. That's the state of man after sin. Hiding. Condemnation. Praise God. How many people remember that the Bible also says in that place that Adam used fig leaves to cover himself? The state of man. So what does man have? Condemnation. What is the state of covering himself? That is, man is always condemned and always thinks he needs to do something to get God on his good side. So what will he do? He will quickly go and get fig leaves to cover himself. Why? He knew that he was naked. But the point is, that is all figurative to say that God is the one that covers man. Amen?
Amen.
He is the one that does what? Covers man. But what is man doing? Man is running away and trying to do the work himself. Praise God. That's how Moses talked about righteousness. Man is hiding. Man is covering. Praise the Lord. But what is the good news for us today? The good news for us today is that Jesus has become our righteousness. Amen. Can we get a believing amen?
Amen?
Look at 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5 21. I want you to be there. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5 21. Are you there now? He became sin. Who knew no sin? That what? That we might become the righteousness of God. Who is the righteousness of God? Who is the righteousness of God? Say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, in Christ Jesus. So your righteousness is not in what you do. Your righteousness is in someone. That is why the Bible always tell you, if any man be in Christ. Someone say, I am in Christ.
I am in Christ.
So Christ's righteousness is my righteousness. I am in Christ. Christ's righteousness is my righteousness. I am saying to you that you have a... So there is therefore no condemnation between you and God. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Why? You are now in Christ.
Amen.
Christ's righteousness is your righteousness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You have a right standing. You know, a lot of people say things like, you know what? I did something wrong. I cannot pray. What is that? Today, the topic we're going to be dealing with in the subtopic is why we don't live in sin. But I need to understand something, that when man does wrong, what is the natural thing he wants to do? He wants to run from God. He wants to hide. Have you ever felt that way, where you did something and because of that you don't want to come to church? You don't want to be around the saints? You're just looking. For now, just be like, don't let me come to the local church. Because if Pastor looks at me and just enters the spirit, he can see that I was dancing Etigi last week. Not anything wrong with that, but I don't want him to catch me like that. So what does she want to do? How many people know that Fola is already our topic of discussion this Sunday? Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So just we're clear. Praise God. Are we all happy with that?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah. So the point is, there is a tendency of always wanting to hide. But guess what? When do you need a shower? Is it when you are clean or when you are dirty? You know, and that is what religion doesn't get. People come like, and that's why I'm doing this teaching, why we don't live in sin. People want to say, no, when you sin, God is angry, God leaves you. But the logic tells you that when you are dirty, you want to go into the shower. And someone will say, why do you want to go into the shower? You'll be saying, can't you smell that I'm smelling? Praise God. How many people have spoken to themselves before? I am smelling. Then you find your way to the bedroom. Yeah, that's what you do. Amen. Praise God. Experience. Amen. Praise God. So look at it. Look at it. So the point is, you will say, I am smelling. Then, you know, you don't say, no, if I get into the bedroom and the water starts to drop, all these impurities will drop. It's too much. I cannot behold it. You don't say that. In fact, you are hoping that the water will do the good job of washing you well. But religion has it in the reverse. To tell you that, you know what, when you are dirty or you have missed it, run. And the more you run, the dirtier you become. Praise God. Why is it that you get dirtier? Because the more you are running, guess who is running alongside with you? The devil with condemnation. You know, a lot of diseases come from condemnation. A sense of just thinking that the world is against you, God is against you, God is angry with you. Brothers and sisters, it's a weight. It's a what?
Wait.
Just thinking that God is against you is a big weight. There is a rest and an assurance knowing that, if everybody fails, including Fola, God is faithful. That is rest. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Amen. Say, I thank God for the gift of righteousness. So righteousness is everlasting. Righteousness is eternal. Righteousness cannot be lost. Because righteousness is actually God in you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Say, okay, Romans 5:17. Romans 5:17. Are you in Romans 5:17? It says, Romans 5:17, are you there? It says, for if by one man's offense, what happened?
Death
what?
Rain.
When you hear death and you hear reigns, what comes to your mind when you hear reign? A kingdom. How many people know what a kingdom is? How many people know that a kingdom, the etymology of kingdom is there are two words, they are broken down. King and domain. That's where we get the word kingdom. How many people knew that before now?
Yeah.
Now you know something. Okay. Now you don't know. Now you know. Whatever it is. Yeah. King and domain. So wherever you hear reign, there is a kingdom. So in that kingdom, there must be a king ruling over a particular area. Look at verse 17 again. For if by one man's offense, death. Let's look at Romans 5 verse 12 to make it make sense to you. Wherefore, as by one man's sin, what happened? Wherefore, as by one man, sin did what? Entered into the world and death by sin. And then death passed to how many people?
All men.
Listen to it again. Who brought death into the world?
Sin.
You know, people think that, you know, in the garden story, God built a garden. That's how people think. And God, because someone was, were evangelizing sometime. Evangelize, so you know if you understand this gospel. They will ask you questions, you'll be like, do you think that way? Yeah. Someone were evangelizing one day, and someone said, I get you. But why did God put a tree of life? And then he knows man. And then he went to put a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Why? Why didn't he just leave only one tree? Because if there's only one tree there, evil, look, when she's hungry, it is still one tree she will eat. How would you have answered that on the evangelism ground? I hope you are not going to be calling 079. Okay, let me call my number on air. Amen. Hold on, let me call my pastor. It wasn't that God planted. It's the fact that in a relationship that is not dictatorial, man must be given a choice. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Imagine me pointing a gun 12 years ago when I went to propose to my wife, or 13. I pointed a gun at her and said, "Will you marry me?" Listen carefully. Yes, I put the gun in my pocket. No, that's the last thing you hear. You will just realize that you are with the Father. You just hear, "Welcome, my humble servant." Do you agree? How many people are very sure that she will be married to me? How many people are sure she'll be married to me?
Absolutely.
I say absolutely. Hey. How many people are sure that you know that she's married to me, but it is a dictatorial operation? I didn't give her a choice. So what God did was, God had only one thing in the garden, life. What is called the knowledge of good and evil? It is just you rejecting the only choice that existed. Did you get it now? Did you get it now? Because man must be given a choice. They can't propose to you with a gun in the head now. You're not saying, "Yes, I love you. I really do love you. Ah, in you and only you do I love." Even the person proposing knows that this is gun power. Amen. So look at it. Who brought death? So was there anything called death in the beginning? No. Who brought a kingdom into this world that we know as the kingdom of sin and death? Verse 12 tells us. Who brought it into the world? Man. A man called Adam brought it into the world. Somebody might be like, "Victory," will be like, "What's wrong with Adam?" Some other people even say things like, "Okay, we are moving from Fola to victory. That's not good practice." Someone like Fola will say, "What's wrong with Adam? Or what's wrong with Eve? If it was me." It's apple now. You eat apple, make apple juice. Just be, make apple manna, apple bread, apple amala. Just go. Why did you go and take the other one? That's how people think. But the fact is, the truth about it is that in our, how many people have actually disobeyed God before? Like you, like this is what you see, let's use Fola. Look at it. God, listen, you know, there's some, for some of us, God speaks just to the word. Some of us is maybe like a vision. Some of us will hear the pam 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 pam. Like God is just trying to get, you know, when it is major serious, like this is life or death. God sometimes supernatural just Fola. So you can't say you didn't hear. Amen. How many people know that? How many people are very, very sure that this particular thing that you are supposed to do, you know that God said you should do it. You know. And then you just like, and you go another way. You can even give, "I will do it. I must do it. I'm a doer. I don't do it." That gets you back into the garden. Praise God. Church, praise God. Say, no. Oh, I think some of us will do a war. In fact, we're not going to only eat the knowledge of truth. Any other tree? Is there any other tree remaining? This one I'm eating is not enough. All right. But I want you to see something there. The man Adam brought a kingdom into the world. That kingdom is the kingdom of sin and death. So sin and death had a kingdom on the earth. Who gave them that kingdom? Adam gave them access to the earth. So there was earth. There was man. There was no evil. But Adam brought evil into the world. So there is a kingdom now called the kingdom of sin and death. There is a king called sin and death today in the world. Are we together?
Yes.
Now let's go back to Romans 5:17. It says, "For by one man's offense, death," where Romans 5:17, "by one man's offense, death,"
reign.
Church, death,
reign.
Death,
reign.
So who is the king? No, look at it again. Who is the king?
Death.
Death reign. Have you ever read the Old Testament? You start to click. When you are looking at king, I'm like, the king Jotham reigned for 4 years. Death reign. He says, much more. they will receive the abundance of
grace.
The abundance of
grace.
So you can see that it's abundance. It's grace. It says that abundant grace is the gift of the gift of
righteousness.
It says these are the only ones that will
reign
in. So reign means there is another kingdom. Amen. So there is another kingdom. There is one kingdom, and only if you receive the gift of righteousness do you come into that new kingdom and you start to reign. What are you reigning over? Let me see if someone is following me. What, when you are in this new kingdom of righteousness, what are you reigning over? You are reigning. So there are two kingdoms. One is a small kingdom. That kingdom is called sin and death. And so that, you know, and so there is another kingdom. Jesus brings this kingdom, just the way one man brought a death kingdom into the world, another man brings a life kingdom into the world. Amen.
Amen.
So, but that man that brought the life kingdom into the world, he says, all you need to do is just freely accept my gift. That gift, when you accept it, you walk out of that kingdom. In that kingdom of death, who is your king? In the kingdom of death, who is your king? Death. Who is your king? Sin. Who is your master? The devil. He's your king. He's your master. Praise God. But when you get born again, you have received the gift of righteousness. Can we get a believing amen?
Amen.
We received the gift of righteousness. Another thing we need to know as we look, as we get into these servants of righteousness, is there is something about our God. Very important. And if you understand this nature about God, he brings peace. He brings what?
Peace.
What is God good at? God is good at justifying the ungodly. What does God do? In fact, there is only the ungodly. So if God will do anything, he can only justify the ungodly. Let's look at it carefully there. Let's look at Romans chapter 4 verse 5. We have said three things. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. In the gospel is righteousness. We have said righteousness is a gift, meaning I have right standing. I have a boldness. I can talk and fellowship with God. Amen. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That is why believers don't need intermediaries in fellowshipping with God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We can pray for you while you are praying for yourself. But you should not be a believer that thinks that God doesn't hear me, but hears you. That is disturbing your righteousness consciousness. What kind of conscience should you have? A righteousness consciousness that helps you know that at every point in time, you are in Christ. You are sealed. As Jesus is, so are you. Amen.
Amen.
As Jesus,
Jesus,
so are
I.
That is why, as you see later, the Bible calls you an ambassador. You know, the ambassador of a country in another country represents the president of that country. So the ambassador of Spain to the UK represents the president of Spain in that country. Praise the Lord. That is why we are ambassadors. That is why you must understand. Imagine the ambassador having to need special access to talk to the president. The president that is meant to be representing. So every ambassador should have the president on speed dial. You know, that's how you should be able to have conversations. I will pray about this and I'll sort it out. Honestly. That's what righteousness does for you. Boldness. That is why Jesus Christ, like I said before, was in a storm. And he will say, do you not know? I can pray the Father. You know you should brag on your prayer. Because your prayer is in the name of Jesus. How many people pray? Hey, Father, do it. In the name of Dio, I can assure you nothing will happen. Praise God. Church, praise God. That's why we pray in the name. Meaning that our authority is in this person. Jesus will say, do you not know? I can pray the Father. And he will send. Praise God. He said he will send legions of angels. Do you not know I can pray the Father? Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen.
Amen.
Do you not know I can pray the Father? And he will send it. Do you know that you should be that confident about your praying? Do you know that when you understand that you are righteous, you even take your prayer life more seriously? Amen. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. You know, it's when you think that your prayer doesn't really amount to much that you would need motivation to pray. Amen. 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 Yeah. The non-praying of the believer is one of two things. Ignorance or foolishness. Ignorance, meaning he doesn't know how powerful that thing is. That's why people say, do you not know I can pray the Father? And I will change things here. He says, do you know that you can pray and say, this is the result that this prayer will bring? That's what he said. You know, I can pray the Father and he will send me legions. He didn't just say, you just send me one that is not doing anything. He said, do you know what the meaning of legion? Army. He will send me legions of angels. But he now said, how will the word of God from the prophets be fulfilled? Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Church, praise God.
Hallelujah.
Say, I'm righteous. As Jesus is, so am I. We are saying that God justifies the ungodly. He justifies the ungodly. Meaning that the person God justifies is the person that actually is ungodly. Who were we before Christ came? We're all ungodly. Romans 4 verse 5. Look at it there. Romans 4 verse 5. But to him that walketh not, but believeth on him. Say, I am a believer. Believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. That is the mystery of the kingdom. You know, a lot of people think that God is angry and God is wicked and God is evil to the unbeliever. No. Do you know the proof that God is not evil to the unbeliever? You are the proof. Because the ministry and the assignment he gave you was the ministry of reconciliation. To go and reach who? Reach him? No, the unbeliever. So God actually really loves the world. You know, people always forget that God loves the world when somebody that is their enemy offends them. You know, that's why you pray. You know, that's why people pray and pray about their enemy. God, you see that my enemy? Fola. Let her not make it. And you think you can pray that prayer and God will say, yes, you have. Imagine coming to me. And I always say it all the time. You see, knowing the gospel simplifies your prayer. You cannot be praying. Imagine Sadiq is the president of this country and you want to put Ayola in jail. You now go to Sadiq and say, there is a lady. Say, yes. She offended me. Tell me more. That lady, I want you to impound the house. You say, we can do that. I'm the president. Her name is Ayola Nibabalola. Now Suleiman. You be like, again. Can you show me a picture? You see the picture? If Sadiq says yes, let's go to our house and go and arrest her. There's something wrong. If God should answer the prayer wherewith a human being is praying against another human being, something is wrong with God. Amen.
Amen.
Because if he can do that, we are saying that Sadiq is better than God. Sadiq will not harm his wife, but God would harm the one he loves. Amen. Who does God justify? God came to die. That is why, you know, Christianity is quite interesting. It is quite interesting. Somebody will kill, do all manner of things. He's now on the cross with Jesus. He just looks to the side and just says, what did he say? Remember me. That's all he said. See, that's why we always tell people, it's a funny discussion. We always tell people, okay, he says, remember me in your paradise. What did you just say? Today you'll be with me. God, you need to understand that God is a softy when it comes to human beings. His weak point, his soft point is human beings. He loves human beings. You know the way, you know, let me put it this other way. You know the way my wife loves me? You know, sometimes I would just wake up and say, I see she's looking at me. I'm like, hey, God. God is a softie. You need to understand that. With other people and even with you. You know, people don't like it. People like individualistic love. You know, like, I like the fact that God is a softie for me. But for other people, he must show them. No, God is love. He's, when you're talking about human beings, you're talking about God's soft spots. Imagine Fola goes to that to prayer with the mindset that she's God's soft spot. You know, she's coming, then she will have a plerophoria. What is that? A confidence, a boldness. Like, all of you stay outside. I'm going to meet my boo. Not that she's going like, we are trying. You know, there's a way that you pray that we know that righteousness is not your consciousness. In the things you say. Imagine if, I don't know, because, you know, permit me, I'll use Ayola again. We can borrow you next week. Yeah, we'll come back to you. Imagine Ayola wanted to talk to Sadiq to maybe use his car. Then she starts with the master. No, there's a place for that one. There's a place for, you know, hey God, why is this message like this? There's a place for where which you make your husband absolutely useless with praise, like Sadiq. As I'm looking at you, you know, I always tell women that women are powerful. I don't want to digress. But if you know how to use praise, you've got the man. Men are not strong. They are not, even that you're a strong lecturer, that lecturer that used to, like, doesn't laugh. Go and see him with his wife. If the wife knows what she's doing, Sadiq. This is your best. Let me use your last word. He's giving. So we will now see a part of Sadiq that is not popular. He will not be laughing. You will not be hearing, stop it now. Yes. At that point, if she asks for inheritance, she's got it. But now let's flip it. Imagine she wanted to ask for his car to go somewhere. She's now coming with fear and trembling. And you are observing her in her home, saying, my Lord Major, the captain of this ship, the mighty guy, I'm begging you, I will soon come back. Give me this car, please. I beseech thee. You don't start using international version. You start using KJV to pray. There's something wrong. Why? Listen, I'm an advocate of fervency in prayer, but standing in the consciousness of righteousness. Hallelujah. 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 Righteousness is a gift. He justifies the ungodly. God loves man. Even John 3:16 tells you, for God so loved the world, God loves man. Hallelujah. 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 The other thing we learned, I'm still looking at what we learned last week. The other thing we learned is the fact that God, or Moses, gave the law so that man can know that they are what? Sinners. That's why. Romans 3, verse 19 and 20. The law was to ensure everyone's mouth is stopped so that they can see the need for a savior. Praise the Lord. Church, praise the Lord. Finally, we learned that we access God's grace by faith. How do we access God's grace?
By faith.
Romans 5, verse 1. How do we access God's grace?
By faith.
Romans 5, verse 1. If you understand this, you understand Christianity. How did you get born again? It's the same way. God made something available. You took it. What did he make available? His death and his resurrection made life available. Amen. What did you do? You took it. So what is grace? Grace is what God has done. Amen. Church, amen. Amen. Grace is what? Grace is what? What God has done. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. It says, the grace, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the
love of God.
So how do I know the love of God? I look at the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did that grace bring? The Holy Ghost. Someone say
the Holy Ghost.
So the Holy Ghost is the proof of God's love for us. Amen and amen. But what I'm saying to you is that grace is what God has done. God has given his spirit. What is faith? Faith is how you take it. So Romans 5 verse 1 say, we have access by faith into God's grace. Faith is not trying to take what God has not made available. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Faith is simply responding to what God has made available. So before you start to say you want to take something, you must ask yourself the question, did he make it available? So for example, remember when we started this service, I said, he said, when he pours out the Spirit, what would happen? We will prophesy and we will. So I can take it. I can say, I don't care how I feel, I see, I know. By the Spirit, because he said it. Faith takes. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Now, quickly, we are looking at servants of righteousness, but we want to look quickly why, if it is the fact that Christ has forgiven us of all our sins. Can we get a believing amen?
Amen?
Present, past, and future sins. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, why don't I just go out and start living anyhow? Does that make sense? See, if you preach the gospel and people do not come to the conclusion that it looks like you are saying they should go and live anyhow, you have not preached the gospel. Because the gospel is good news, telling people that sin is not the issue. God has dealt with the sin of man. Okay, then this problem that remains. Okay, if God has dealt with the sin of man, are you saying that I should actually go and fornicate? I should go and smoke? I should go and do whatever it is that I can live anyhow? Let's look at it. Romans chapter 6 verse 1. So we are looking quickly. Why do we live a holy life? If we are righteous by faith, if as Jesus is, so are we, and we can never change righteousness. So what is the point of holiness? If you're writing for those that like number one, we live holy lives because holiness, our nature has changed. Someone say, my nature has changed. Now, this is very, very important. Say, my nature has changed. Now, this is one of the biggest secrets that will help you live a holy life. What nature did you have before? The nature of sin. Do you know what a nature is? The nature is the driving force that makes man do what he does. So dogs, okay, let me say it again. Nature is a driving force that makes man do what he does. So for example, dogs bark. Why do they bark? It's their
nature.
So there is something in them that drives that behavior. Right? So when we were, before we met Christ, what kind of nature did we have? We had a sin nature. Someone say sin nature.
Sin nature.
That is why believers should not be surprised that unbelievers are living in sin. Why? Because they have a sin nature. How many people say, oh my God? We say, Fola, what's the problem? You won't believe what I saw today. Say, talk to me. Say, Pastor, you will not believe. I said, for love, you have started. Talk. Then he says, Pastor, I saw a dog barking. You get it? What will I say? Dogs should bark. Why do I know dogs should bark? Nature. So the point is, before we received Christ, we had a nature. Look at your nature. The Bible calls to those who are not born again children of disobedience. By nature, you are children of wrath. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Let us look at verse 2. Are you there? Say, my nature has changed.
My nature has changed.
How do I kill wrong behaviors? By declaring to my mind that my nature has changed. Are you in verse 2?
Yeah.
Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this
world,
according to the prince of the power of the spirit or that now walketh in the children of. Is there a spirit walking in the world?
Yeah.
Who, that spirit is working on who actually? So there are people called children of disobedience who have not received the gospel that the devil can control. Amen.
Amen.
So look at verse 3. Among whom also you had your conversation in time past. So you used to be like that before. Amen. In the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and whereby I want you to see it for yourself. And we're by nature. What were you by nature? Children of wrath. So by when a person is not born again, by nature he is against God. There is something within him that is driving. There is something within him that is driving evil. There is something within him that is driving wrongness. All the things that we are seeing in the media today, popular media, there is a spirit of disobedience. That is why I always tell people the answer to spirit problems is spirit. That is why the answer to the problem of man is not advocacy. The answer to the problem of man is the gospel. Amen. Because we are dealing with nature. While we can stop to a good degree through advocacy what they do, so let's be balanced. We can stop to a good degree through advocacy what they do. But what will change the lives of men is a change of nature. That should put some springs in your steps about your ministry of reconciliation. People, that is why we don't preach behavior to the unbeliever. Let the unbeliever that is drinking drink. Don't say stop drinking. Say there is life you can get. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Because there is a nature driving that thing. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. There is a nature that is driving that behavior. The spirit of disobedience. There is a spirit behind it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But what has happened to the man that is born again? The man that is born again, that nature that drives sinful actions, what has God done to that nature? God has taken out that nature. So when Christ died, what died? The sinful nature. That is why, that is what was symbolized in the baptism of John. How many of you remember the baptism of John that people also do today? What happens to you? I remember he has been baptized by water before.
Yeah.
Right. What happened to you on the day they baptized you with water? You enter. What is that symbolizing? It's an Old Testament fact. But what was that? It was a message. The baptism of John was a message. It was a preaching of what Christ will come and do. That's why John the Baptist is the greatest prophet of the New Testament, of the Old Testament. Let's look at it in Acts chapter 10. Acts 10. Look at verse 37. John's baptism was a preaching. Are you in Acts 10?
Yes.
Verse 37?
Yes.
It says, that word, are you there now?
Yes.
Okay, I'm waiting for you. Are you there now?
Yes.
That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism. Are you reading with me?
Yes.
After the baptism which
John
preached. So baptism is a message. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That message was a pointer. A pointer to what? What will happen to man when Jesus comes? So when John was putting men in water, what was he symbolizing? That the nature will die. The sin nature will
die.
By the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the sin nature will
die.
When the man comes out of the water, what is he symbolizing? That a new man exists now. So what are we saying to you? We are saying that the man that is born again has received a new nature. Say, I've received a new nature. Let's look at it in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Romans 6, verse 1. This is the popular thing. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may... So please understand that in the book of Romans, the word sin was used 49 times. Of those 49 times, 47 of them was talking about nature. Someone say nature. So let's start off now. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? That sin there is talking about, can we continue in the nature of sin? Because we now have grace. Has anybody heard of that before? Say, we can do anything we like because we're now under grace. How did Paul respond in verse 2? How did God and Paul respond in verse 2? God forbid. How did he respond? Will any message license licentious living? Let me say, what does licentious living? Living anyhow. No. Listen, we are righteous. We are, see, God sees us like Jesus. But we must understand why we live holy. If not, we are going to be using holiness, holy living as a cheap to think we can use to bribe God. So the man is now saying, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He says, God forbid. How shall we that are what? I want you to be in verse 2. Romans 6 verse 2. How shall we that are what? We are what? What are you, Fola? You are dead to sin. What sin there? Nature. Remember kingdoms? You are dead to that old kingdom. So he's saying that, listen, you cannot, you are not to live sinful lives because your nature has changed. Meaning that thing that drives you to go and sin actually has been cut off. There is a new life you now have. Say, I believe. Look at it. It says, know ye not that so many of us that were what? We are in verse 3. That were what? Baptized into what? Say, I'm baptized into Christ. How do you get baptized into Christ? By believing the message. Baptism means to immerse. Immerse into what? A message, a gospel. So we have been baptized into Christ. How are we baptized into Christ? Someone preached the gospel to us when we believed. That nature of sin, out. Somebody might be here thinking, you know what? There are things I want to stop to do. I can't stop doing it. I have good news for you. The nature that drives evil behavior is out. It's not even a prayer point. It's a fact. There is a nature in you now. What did you used to have before? A nature, look, it's just like a person. So imagine a dog becoming a man. A dog came back. Then the dog is now made a man by some magic. The man, by nature of being transferred from being a dog to a man, has lost barking abilities. Hallelujah. If he barks today, he is barking because of the practice and being used to barking when he was a dog. But the life that powers barking is not there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, this is the truth the devil doesn't want believers to know. To make them think, oh, there is no sin a believer cannot walk away from. Even gossiping. What backs evil living has been cut off. Have you ever been driving a car and then you put off the car? You see that the car is still rolling. What is it rolling on? I think it's called momentum. It just keeps going. But the engine that powers that car, has it stopped? Yes. But are we still seeing the car moving? Some of us that have been in the car, they know how to do this thing. You are moving on gear 4. Before you know, you just put it into neutral. It's still moving. But the engine powering that thing is gone. Though you see the car moving, you know that the engine powering it is gone. The good news is that the engine powering sinful behavior has been cut off. Hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Church, hallelujah. Look at it again. Look at it again. He says in verse 3, know ye not. So it's a knowledge problem. Say knowledge problem. Knowledge problem. You know, a woman came over in Manchester. Sister Diola, Miss B, Sister Madeline were in Manchester. And we're having a healing meeting in Manchester. And I laid hands on people. And myself, I think Miss B was singing. And we're laying hands and people were falling. And there was this lady. I laid hands on her and then she fell under the power of the Holy Ghost. And then came back up. And she said, I want to talk to you. I said, okay, what's the issue? She said, my demon is nicotine. That thing is... I said, hello, are you born again? She said, yes. I didn't say this will... But the truth is that her mind was the demon. So I told her, no, you're free already. Say, am I free? Yeah. How do you know I'm free? I know the gospel has set you free. But if you did not know, you would think you are under the bondage. That's why later, as we are going to see later, the Bible will say, submit yourself to righteousness because that's your new master. Amen.
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 How does this play out in your natural day? Let us look at verse 4. Because Brother Vic is already in pan. It's already in pan. It's like, see if I did not see it. I see these things. Look at verse 4. Therefore, Romans 6 verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him. He's trying to tell you, this is how you should see yourself. That message of John should be real to you. You were buried with him. Imagine I had a gambling addiction. I want to stop it. And I felt there was something that would say, no, I'm buried with him. It's what I permit now that is permitted. Praise God. You know, Kenneth, one of my red mentors, Kenneth Hagin, one day was saying, you know what? He realized that he just loved Coke too much. He just loved Coke too much. It looked like Coke was a demonic problem. You know, everybody has what he's fighting. Some other people, the problem they are fighting is biceps and triceps. If they see a man with triceps and biceps that he went to gym. Hey! But for some others, it's as simple things like Coke. It can, for another person, it can be indomie. It can be food. Say, no, it's a spirit. If I just see fried plantain, it doesn't matter what's happening. You will say no. You know, and that's what you do with everything. For some other person, it can be a sickness. You say, no, this thing is dead with this thing now. There is a life I carry that is real to my mind. Hallelujah. We are going to get there. He says, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into death. Say that, you know, I was preaching, one of my people was preaching in the university, I've said this before, and then he was preaching this particular verse, that we are buried, we are dead, we are buried. Everybody, we are dead, we are buried. Someone just left the meeting, you know, youths, I love youth. So I have said the thing to Miss B a lot of times. Someone just left the meeting and went to go and post his own obituary. You know what obituary is? Do you know what obituary is? Statement of death. You know when he died in our meeting? Posted it everywhere because he believed in revelation. Because what did we tell him? We told him he's dead. He's dead to sin. Bro went to preacher. Even all of us said, he was in the meeting. Then the bro just comes. Everybody just takes off. What happened? That was the way he was reckoning. He might have taken it too far. But it was we said he's dead. The guy said, I see. They said, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead. Then we said, we're alive. The guy said, I'm alive. Praise God. Look at it. He says there, therefore we were buried with him by baptism into his death, that as Christ was raised up, so you will realize that when Christ was raised up, I was raised a new person with a new nature that drives me to do other things. So before now, I had a nature that used to drive me to sin, drive me to evil. It was my normal estate. I had a king over my life. That king determined and dictated. It dictated to me that I must be selfish. Because the way of the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So when I was not born again, I was a man that had a king whose rule was that I must operate by the lust of the flesh. It was the way for me. Then I have a new king now. Say, I have a new king now. When I got into this new kingdom, it says, how did we get into this new kingdom? The Bible says you, some say you, are to reckon it. See, until you start to reckon it. So let me show you so that, because this pom-pom-pom is getting too much. Let's get it. Look at verse 6. Knowing this, say, it's a knowledge problem. Knowing this, that our old, did Fola have an old man? Somebody say, this is Fola self. Is he old man or new man? We don't even know which one is with that is sitting with us. Look at it. It says, knowing this, so it's a knowledge problem, that our old man, you must reckon it. When you are dealing with anxieties, you say, no. The new power that powers me does not power me to be anxious. My mind is just playing on the old dial. There is a new dial. Are you hearing this? That's how you do it. When you have urges for evil, you say no. And when I'm talking about urges, I'm talking about you say, I know me. If you tell me one, I insult you 50. Say no. There's a new man. The person that used to power me, that you say one, I'll say 50. I went to his obituary. I went to his burial ground. Where is his burial ground? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the new man is here today. So when your mind is telling you, this is who you are, you say no. That's why I always tell believers, there is nothing you cannot do when it comes to character. Because we know you no longer after the flesh. Don't let anybody make you believe that you are not patient. It's not true. Say, when Christ died, I died. When Christ was raised up, I was raised up. The new me that is raised up is patient. Let me tell you something. After you confess those confessions, the next minute you can say, hey, excuse, leave here. Meaning you have acted impatiently. Do you know what you say? You don't actually identify with your actions. You identify with your nature. Amen. Pastor Christian Akinwale one time, he had been preaching and preaching and preaching, and he has overrun his body. So maybe saints, take care of your pastor. He had overrun his body. He was doing everything. Then he got sick. His sickness was not the devil. It was just the body down. They said, no, let's take him to the doctor. Pastor Chris said, no, I ain't going to the doctor. They finally forced him. They said, Pastor Chris, while he was still weak and tired, he was still saying, the nature I have doesn't have this weakness in there. That's the spirit. Not saying, ha. Really? Hey, this nature that we are shouting, it's like it's not working. No. No. Amen. Church, amen. Because the nature you have is a fact. You say it's a fact to my mind. Let me show you. Look at it. It says, knowing this, that our, verse 6, that our old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin, what was on the cross, people will say it was Jesus. Who was on the cross? For last old man. Amen. What happened to that fallen old man? That the body of sin might be destroyed. Done away with. So the nature that fallen used to have is destroyed. It doesn't exist anymore. There is nothing spiritual powering fallen for evil. It doesn't exist. An unbeliever, yes, but for who is born again? No. Amen. Amen. He says that we should enforce not serve sin. Look at verse 7. For he that is... Look at verse 7. He that is...
Dead.
He that is...
Dead.
Is what?
Free from
he that is...
Dead.
Say, I am dead.
I am dead.
Let's complete. I am now alive.
I'm now alive.
So I am free from the sin nature.
I am free from the sin nature.
There is no evil...
driving me...
to do evil.
There is a nature in me
driving me
to do good.
See, there's a nature in me
driving me
to do good. And praise God.
Hallelujah.
So if you listen quietly within, you start to realize that there are promptings from within. How many people have ever had those promptings? Things from within that just comes up to you. Something to do. Something to say. Someone to call. How not to respond. How many people have wanted to blast somebody, but there is something within you that just say, if you try it. Okay, it doesn't say it like that. You just be like, you just feel it within. Feel it within. But you know, there are sometimes that, let me now tell you something. There are sometimes that you have made a practice stubbornly of grieving the spirit. So you want to do something. The spirit is shouting, you no longer can hear because you are no longer sensitive. Why? Your disobedience has made you insensitive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's how you realize that. I mean, you've done something on the first time you did it, you're like, ha! That's happened to you. How can I do this kind of thing? This is wrong. If you keep doing it, your ha will be reducing. Ha! How can I do this kind of thing? The next time, ha! The next time. Next time, we did it. Beat us if you want to beat us. He can't hear the ha. The first ha is the same way the Holy Ghost was saying ha. But this man has desensitized himself. Are you getting it now? But you've got a nature. You've got a life. So the first point we are sharing today, why do we live holy? Because we have a new nature. Let's read this last verse and then we rise up. Let's 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 rise up. Verse 11. Everyone read. See, if you don't read verse 11, it means you won't understand all I've said today. Because the word we're about to go into is that the Bible is trying to teach you to be an accountant. To be a what?
An accountant.
Verse 11. Likewise, are you there? Likewise, what should you do?
Reckon.
Church, you should do what?
Reckon.
Who will do it? Meaning that you must know to be able to do it. If you don't do it, you will live like you are an unbeliever. It will look like you are an unbeliever. If you don't do it, You, sickness can have a few days. If you don't do it, anger will have a few days. Malice, you would actually make addictions a big deal. You will say, that's just me. That's how we are in our family. It's a generational curse. You will give an excuse. But you must first know. We've used the first this service to know. But the part you must know that makes it work for you is you will reckon. So there is an activity. What did I just do? I told you the words of grace. What are you to do? Act it out in faith. How do you act out in faith? You reckon. Reckon is an accounting term. Look at. Likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed to sin and how do I do it? I say, I am dead to sin. I'm alive to God. I'm dead to evil works. I'm alive to God. I'm dead to evil. I'm dead to evil speaking. I'm dead to malice. I am dead to jealousy. I am dead to always putting myself first. I'm alive to God. Lift up your voice to God and give Him praise for the nature that you have. But I think you can play for us. I'm alive to God. I want you to say that so much this week. I'm alive to God. I'm alive to God. Remember the key. You will reckon. God is not God. It's not Pastor Dyer.